The Royal Rumble has come and gone, and it's officially Mania season again, which means it's tailgate time. The Mania Club tailgate party takes over the parking lots of MetLife Stadium for the fourth annual event benefiting Connor's Cure on Sunday, April 7th. This year, for the cost of just $70, your ticket price will benefit Connor's Cure and aid in the fight against pediatric cancer, and includes all-you-can-eat food, all-you-can-drink beer, soda, juice and water, a music DJ, a live interactive WrestleMania pre-show featuring the New Age Insiders, special guests, and more. There will also be several raffles, and participation in our legendary cosplay contest for your chance to win some amazing prizes is highly encouraged. Underage? No worries. The Mania Club Tailgate Party is a family-friendly event, and all the previously mentioned, minus the alcoholic beverages, are included for just $40. Tickets are available right now via links available through the Mania Club Facebook page, at Mania Club WWE on Twitter, or by visiting newageinsiders.com/tailgate. The official parking lot number will be announced very soon, so stay tuned for the final location, which will be closer to the big event than ever before. Once again, join us April 7th from 11 to 4 on Mania Sunday for the ultimate tailgate party with the Mania Club, with proceeds benefiting Connor's Cure. We'll see you there.
And now,
this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the New Age Insiders.
This is the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show.
Hey, this is Cody Rhodes, the Prince of Pro Wrestling, and you are listening to New Age Insiders.
With your host, Jason Moltov.
We watch wrestling to enjoy. If you're not enjoying it, why are you watching?
Liam Stryker.
If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. Storytelling, storytelling, storytelling.
And Bill Neville.
Unpredictability is the answer. When wrestling's unpredictable, it's at its best.
This is Warbeard Hansen.
This is Johnny Mundo.
This is Donovan Dijak.
Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund.
This is Zack Ryder.
Hi, this is Howard Finkel.
I'm Bill Goldberg, and the New Age Insiders are next.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
I am super, super excited for this week's show.
I'm very white when it comes to drums. They get me going.
Yeah, of course.
It's like my Irish heritage, I think, is battle drums. Maybe it's the Scottish part of me.
Did
Ireland fight in any major wars?
I don't think either one of those would be associated with drums.
Really? They don't think Scotland had, like battle drums?
No, their thing's bagpipes.
Yeah. But, like, not exclusively, right?
Like, no, like, that's their thing. Like,
also
if anybody...
If like any Drew McIntyre's song's got some drums.
Yeah, but it's mostly the bagpipes.
Yeah, but
if anybody's got drums, it's definitely an African thing.
I guess.
Maybe a Congo thing.
Well, then maybe I just enjoy this sweet riff.
The beginning sounded like Triple H.
Yep.
So
we took a hard turn to not having to pay for it, town.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. We were, like, heading to Motorhead... And then we decided to go left.
Yeah, to Engine Cranium.
To Engine Cranium.
The selection that's free.
So that's what we decided to do.
Hooray!
Hooray! And welcome into NAI Live!
Yeah! We are live on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. If it is Wednesday night...
Was that Poppy?
Oh,
was it? I don't know. I didn't hear anything.
With Bill, it always could be.
It's always a chance.
There's always a chance. I thought I heard a ooh.
Yeah, always a chance. We are live on New Age Insiders TV, NAI Live. You should be here every single Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. We are going to be talking about the state of WWE. There was a State of the Union address this week in the United States.
Was it sponsored by Little Caesars?
At this point, it should be. I feel like that should be it, where it's just like, ladies and gentlemen, I will now give you the State of the Union. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I
feel somebody's like got to keep this government open.
Everything is sponsored. We had cheeseburgers with the football team. That really happened. But instead of talking about the state of America, because it divides Americans and our foreign abroad, UK, and there's tons of continents listening.
Yeah.
And you guys don't care. Yeah. So we're going to talk about wrestling. And we're going to talk about the state of the WWE. They have made big promises about change coming and, you know, changes to the programming and the direction and all that kind of stuff. We're going to talk about where they are, where we think they're going, where we kind of forecast their year in 2019, and talk about how we've got to 2019 so far. We talk often a lot on this show about how progress is something that is tough to measure as it happens. It's almost much more like one you get to the top of the hill and look down as opposed to seeing how far you've climbed along the way. And we're right at the top of some mountain, and we're going to evaluate where we are with WWE. We're also going to be talking about AEW and why it has got this weird divisive nature with fans and people really splitting into these camps. We'll talk about the state of AEW, and although it might be early to review a company that hasn't had a show yet, what we're really doing is kind of bringing to your attention that they're a company that hasn't had a show yet. And there's a group of fans already so ravenous and sort of angry as to, like, put a lot of people down and into boxes. And it's just, it's weird. It's weird. Just, I get, and we'll talk about it, I get people being starving for something different or that they recognize. There's a need for that. There's a group of people. I gotcha. But, like, breathe for me. You know what I mean? Like, so far, you know what I mean? Like, we'll get to it, but, like, breathe for me. But we'll talk about all sorts of stuff. And again, a huge shout out to Gary and Ashante for putting on the Connor's Cure WrestleMania tailgates. The entire weekend is Bill played in the commercial for you guys. We're having the biggest NAI Mania ever. We have a big goal to raise for Connor's Cure, and we are going to be pulling out all the stops to hit that number.
You can just donate if you don't want to go.
Absolutely you can. And that's one of the biggest things we're going to be doing from now through WrestleMania weekend with those guys, is going to raise awareness for donations. Obviously, you got to follow at Mania Club WWE, and there's donations to be made directly to the Connor's Cure, whether you're going to be able to attend the event out there with us or not. And just to recap, on Saturday, April 6th, Chaos for a Cure, Chaotic Wrestling, and the New Age Insiders present a live wrestling event, and it is a Connor's Cure affiliated event, WrestleMania weekend, so who knows what's going to go down. Our first live wrestling event, again, with Chaotic Wrestling, Chaos for a Cause, Saturday, April 6th. We are minutes away from the hub where everything's happening. So it's not like, hey, we're an hour and a half from Access or something. You do not have to choose. It does not fight TakeOver. It does not fight the Ring of Honor show. It does not fight the Hall of Fame. It does not fight WrestleMania. You do not have to choose. You can just simply add Chaos for a Cause, the WrestleMania weekend show with Chaotic Wrestling, what we are going to be hosting and are super excited for, and we need your support. And then, of course, the annual tradition continues, the fourth annual WrestleMania tailgate party. That's the April 7th at MetLife Stadium. Unlimited drinks, unlimited food, fighting pediatric cancer, fighting for a great cause. Win prizes, win a championship, cosplay. Really one of the big, big highlights of the weekend, perhaps the reason we're even going to New York at all, is this tailgate weekend. And what we're And what we're putting on for you Saturday with a live wrestling show, and Sunday teaming up with the Mania Club to put on the tailgate that has really become the highlight of the trip for us. NAI Mania 5, bigger than ever. We'll see you out there in New York. And of course, donate to Connor's Cure, because that we're doing this. We're not going to see a dime for this weekend. We are going to, this is all for them. You know, Sunday is all for Connor's Cure. So we're really excited to be part of this once again. Shout out to the guys over at Mania Club. Give them a follow as well. They're doing the Lord's work, and we're just super happy to be a small part of it. If it's your first time listening, if you click some links, if you're new to it, if you're on Twitch and you're like, hey, I like wrestling. I didn't know there was wrestling talk on Twitch. Well, there sure is. Every Wednesday night on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. You can also find us on iTunes, Podomatic, Lork, Norble, and Stitcher. The people that you listen to, and come on down. Huge shout out to Nando Ponce for the subscription with Twitch Prime, because if you have Amazon Prime, you already have the ability to subscribe for free with Twitch Prime to twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. My name is Jason Malta.
I am Liam Strugger.
And Bill Neville.
We are the New Age Insiders, live on Wednesdays. Find us all over the place. Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Periscope. That's important, too, for the weekends we have. At New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville NAI, the website where you can find everything going on, our plans, newageinsiders.com. And all together, you have made us the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard. Oh, and thank you to Insidious Pie. For Jeff Bezos doesn't get that money, we get that money. And thank you so much, and we appreciate you.
Yes.
And so let's just go ahead and jump right on into the state of the Federation, as we've been calling it, where we are with WWE today. And here's what I want to kind of do. I want to break this into three parts.
Okay.
I want to talk about how we got here, and I'm going to give you a specific time frame.
Okay, yeah, because, yeah.
I want to talk about how we got here from a certain point. I want to talk about where we are right now, and I want to talk about where you think we're going. So let's kick it off chronologically with how we got to February 2019, and I'm going to start with January of 2014, okay?
Okay.
And there's a reason. January 2014, we were still at the Scratch logo phase. We hadn't quite moved over to the new logo that we see today, the cleaner, sleeker logo, but it happened later that year, okay?
Yeah, right, okay.
And so I'm going to pick it up from January because here's why. In January of 2014, Daniel Bryan was omitted from the Royal Rumble completely. If you remember, that was the year that he got beaten by Bray Wyatt with no crazy outcome. It wound up being CM Punk's last night in the company, and Daniel Bryan was omitted from the Royal Rumble. That really took simmering water to boiling water to this becoming, you know, hijacking this show, right?
Right.
And nothing was quite the same. And so the reason I go from there is because it's nice and clean. It's five clean years. And also the fact that, like, look, we were told that Daniel Bryan started this great new future that fans have a voice in this company, right? So whether that came to fruition or not, it was what we were told. And things certainly did pivot from where they wanted to be. So I'm going to ask you, from January 2014, where fans were kicking and screaming for something other than Dave Bautista versus Randy Orton, to 2019, where women may very well main event WrestleMania, and it doesn't feel like pandering. It feels like the right decision. Just what do you think the last 5 years have been for this company? What are the high points, the low points? How did we get here?
So the big thing is that from a male perspective, there hasn't been much change in the men, right?
You don't think so?
I don't think that there's been a huge, like, there hasn't been a huge change in the men because Daniel Bryan loses the championship due to injury after Kane with a forklift. We immediately hit the panic button that is John Cena that ultimately leads into the panic button that is Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
And so then we end up going from a fan base that was starved because leading up to that point, we were done with John Cena. John Cena was the hand-picked chosen one. And so you look at it and it's, you know, John Cena, John Cena, John Cena. We're starved for it. Daniel Bryan shows up. But then all of a sudden it becomes Brock Lesnar's show. And ultimately that's when everybody flips because we realize it's Roman Reigns' show.
Okay.
So now we fight the battle from a male perspective against WWE, and we care only about what Roman Reigns is doing, and it's John Cena all over again.
Okay.
Now, we get cool moments in there, like Seth Rollins stealing the first stealing that first WrestleMania match, but then he goes on to main event the rest of them up until this one that we're currently here because of the injury.
Sure. I think that the men have made progress, to be honest with you, in a significant way since like around the last 5 years. Because like, look, I understand that WWE has flag bearers. It's the old formula. Bruno gave it to Hogan, who gave it to Austin, who gave it to Cena, who gave it to Roman Reigns. And some of them have been more popular than others. People didn't really seem to vocally get sick of Bruno Sammartino because it was a traveling circus that they were lucky to see him live two or three times a year. Hulk Hogan wore out his welcome. We moved on. Austin was burned too bright too quickly to get sick of him. John Cena just, this is what happens when you're good for 12 years. Ask somebody else from New England, like John Cena, what happens when you're good for two decades. People hate you. You know what I mean?
Right.
And now it's Roman Reigns, and we've talked a lot about Roman Reigns. So I understand from that perspective. But at the same time, it's like, look, in 2013 and 2012 and 2011, if you go back, this roster sucked. I'm sorry. With all due respect to a guy I've met and driven around in my car, like Carlito Caribbean Cool and Ryback and all that.
Yep.
That roster blew.
Yeah, no, they were bad.
And the way that they searched and evaluated for talent more than 5 years ago was MTV, the NFL, models, just like, again, he turned out to be great. And so maybe this is a terrible example. But they got super lucky that the guy from MTV wound up to be worth
this good.
Two
right.
shakes of salt.
Right.
You're and now where they've started to scout over the last 5 years
better.
Is their scouting system is night and day.
Right. No, and that's right. But we don't get – we are only now really seeing that fruit ripen because –
You think so now? Like,
yeah, because –
Define now.
So –
because I tell you the Kevin Owens has been a big deal for 3 years.
Right. But again, the show – hadn't changed. The players were better on the bottom part of that roster.
Okay.
But the show hadn't changed. And then SummerSlam came and Roman Reigns had to stand in that ring and say that he had cancer.
Yeah.
And it has felt different from a talent perspective because it seems like people that are talented are now getting a shot, ultimately capitalized by the McMahon standing in that ring and going, look, here's the deal. We're sorry we weren't trying.
Yeah,
right? Which is great at the tail end of this five and is really optimistic leading into the next five. But, yeah, up until Roman Reigns had to say that he had cancer, it was... oh my God, this is the Roman Reigns show, and it's the same thing.
Okay.
And while, yes, the Intercontinental Championship match was Dolph Ziggler versus Seth Rollins, great. That's fantastic. But we still ran into the same WWE tropes of, yeah, they're going to wrestle every Raw for a year and a half.
I'm going to play the WWE good guy tonight. That's different. Okay. I'm going to be the WWE good guy. Where you're right that Roman Reigns, it's not an invalid point. Like, look, you know, they have a flag bearer.
Right.
They have a starting quarterback. They've always going to have one. They always will. They are never going to play a system where, like, one of those things where it's like, you know, on like third and three, this guy should throw the ball. No one actually does that, right? They're never going to start. I understand. But at the same time, what I would counter is in 2012, 2011, 2010, I'm assuming, and again, this is more of a DC Matthews homework assignment, which he's always great at, but I would assume that John Cena's winning percentage was in the high 80s, maybe even low flipping 90s. And what I would tell you now, in the Roman Reigns era of being the quarterback, he has lost way more often than any leading man.
You're correct.
So that's a change.
Right, but at the same time, it's frustrating from a fan perspective where we know that Roman Reigns is going to wrestle and beat The Undertaker because that match matters, right? Like, yeah, he's going to get screwed out of the title.
Sure.
And yeah, sure, you lose more than John Cena, and yay for you, but you're still, for no reason, the guy that closes WrestleMania when you come out of nowhere to be that guy.
Right.
You're the guy who loses all the way to facing Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam to then beat him.
Right.
You know, that's the stuff, because it's less individual. Like, the issue with John Cena was in the match, it was, I'm getting my ass kicked, I'm getting my ass kicked, I'm getting my ass kicked, I overcome and win. Right.
Yeah.
Whereas
I would point you to Hulk Hogan.
Right. It's the same thing. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns is not necessarily in the vein of that like particular match, but in the series of leading up to a big important thing.
See what they've done differently, because you're right. What they've done differently with Reigns is elongated this thing. So
right.
It's like Hulk Hogan. Or John Cena. John Cena used to get walloped for 75%, rally for 25%.
And win.
Right, exactly. And in this case, Roman Reigns gets walloped for 75% of the program.
Correct.
And then
which might span 3 months and then win the title at SummerSlam.
Yep. And again, I'm not telling this to you because I know you know this, but what I am saying to you is like what you're doing, if a fan in the general vein of what you're saying to the fans out there, what you want is for DC Comics. I'll bring it right back to where I come from, right? What you want is, how come every single week the Power Rangers are in trouble, call on the Megazord gets in trouble, calls on the Power Sword,
and wins.
Why do we do that every week?
Right.
And my answer is, well, that's the show. And if you want the Megazord to get destroyed, we're just not going to do that. We might do it once in a while, but then it's going to get fixed and it's going to beat the monster.
Right.
And so, like, I'm not saying this to you, but if you want a show where we have a hero, but he doesn't win at the end, they really just, you're just, that's not it's, this show.
The thing is, and the, head on over to newageinsiders.com and check out the Stryker Cinema series. I'm doing a deep
it's
dive
very good.
Into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
It's very good.
Coming up next, it will be the first Avengers film closing out Phase 1. Head on over and check that out. But probably in the next one, I'm going to do a deep dive into this because I find this to be very, very important. Vic Mackey, the main character of, ironically, a show called The Shield, changed television, right? And he changed television in a very important way because he made being the bad guy cool, right? Like for like a mainstream TV audience. And so he allows Walter White to become a thing and everybody on The Walking Dead to be morally ambiguous. And up until that point, cable television, if you wanted something like, you know, like Tony Soprano, you had to pay for it on HBO,
sure,
right? And so it became much more accessible on an AMC or a TBS or a USA to have these type of things. So people expect these morally ambiguous characters to exist in their television. And Roman Reigns getting another title shot out of nowhere frustrates a fan base, right? And so that's what a majority of this this 5 years was, oh my God, Roman Reigns got the title shot and lost. But then the next night on Raw, when it's like, we're going to have a championship number one contenders match,
yeah,
and it's going to be Seth Rollins and AJ Styles and Samoa Joe and Finn Balor, yeah, and Roman Reigns.
And it's and you are right.
That's the problem because to your point and your credit, yeah, that match 5 or 6 years ago was, you know, John Cena, CM Punk, Carlito Caribbean Cool, Rene Dupree, and
Kane.
You know what I mean?
Right. Wow, and it's, one half of La Resistance.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's just like, oh, well, there's only two people that might win this.
Right.
And really one.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's because that's
the roster's super deep now.
But that's the... So I do agree with that, but it just feels like now they're trying.
Nick agrees that the type of talent they've signed has really improved. Nando needs Megazord power now. And Sean said there's no heat on a star like Cena had at One Night Stand. You're probably never going to get that again. I don't know where Roman Reigns could go.
It would have to be some
if
sort
Roman
of
Reigns
weird...
went to like NXT TakeOver or something.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. Or if
do you
he
think
went,
that would do it?
Yes.
It would have to be either that or All In, Double or Nothing.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know what I mean? Like that type of heat.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, like, I really can't think of an environment we could stick Reigns out that would get him like...
Yeah.
In the 2006 One Night Stand, it's like with no joking around, all joking aside, I think John Cena was in danger.
Yeah, that night.
Yeah,
and John Cena was 60-40 with most WWE crowds,
and
now Roman Reigns is like 90-10.
Right, and you got to remember, like in 2006, ECW had only been shut down for 5 years. You had taken something away from these people they loved. It was still fresh, and this was their night. I know it was the second one, wasn't it? The second one? Didn't they do one in 2005?
The first one was 2005. It was a bunch of ECW.
Right, it was mostly just like Balls Mahoney doing stuff.
Exactly.
Right. And so this one was
the one where there was like a brawl between.
And this one was the best one because Paul Heyman got to grab a microphone and just be like, "I hate you. I hate all of you. I hate Vince. I hate you. I hate Edge. I hate JBL. I hate you the most." You know what I mean? Right. That was just super fun. But yeah, Cena like was in like danger, like to the point where like you know you take these signs with a grain of salt. But like if he had just pinned Van Damme, somebody would have jumped over that guard.
Yeah, of course.
And then one idiot does it, and then 50 of them do it, and then you're
the whole ring's covered.
Then he dies, and you know, luckily that didn't happen.
Always found it weird that Edge cost him that match
And poorly
with the motorcycle helmet
and poorly. He ate more of that table than Cena did.
Yeah,
it was weird. It was just like, hey, how about this? How about one time? One time. It's also an ECW show. We can protect him. Like, Van Damme just uses, like, weapons that Cena's, like, not used to. Like, oh, my God. One night that he could have just won. Anywho.
Yeah.
But I think, so here's where I want to kind of pivot to, because we'll definitely talk about all sorts of stuff, but I definitely want to pivot to this. It's undeniable to me that even though I would tell you that I think the men have made more progress than you do, I understand what you're saying completely. I just think that I think they've made more progress than you do, but I don't think they've made nearly as much progress, obviously, as the women.
That would be my next point.
That's clearly the story. And the nice bridge to this thing is Charlotte Flair. Because first of all, love me some Charlotte Flair. But the second part, and more importantly to this conversation, is Charlotte Flair is a bridge, because to my knowledge, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Charlotte Flair is the only active member of what you would call the Evolution crop.
Okay.
With all due respect to Nikki Bella, that held the butterfly belt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because she beat Nikki for it.
Right, and she was the champion going in and out of
Dallas.
It
depends on what you categorize Paige as.
Yeah, that would be the only other
one. That would be the only other one, because Paige
never held the new one. She's not active, and she never held the new one.
Right, but Paige kicks off the whole thing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's fine.
That's the thing that you have to kind of give Paige credit.
But by the time we were doing this, Paige was gone.
Right.
And she came back, and it was very brief.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It was, and it's also due to injury.
Right, because, you know, AJ Lee belongs almost in the same conversation as Paige, because you can't count Paige's comeback as contributing to this evolution. You just can't.
No.
You can count the stuff they did before.
No, but kind of in the way that you want to kind of credit the men for the talent, it's the same thing with her, right? Her whole thing.
Yeah, she definitely was a huge part of the anti-diva.
The anti-diva, the whole thing there. And so, she becomes her debut at that night after WrestleMania 31 was or 30
30
was very important for the women's evolution.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? And so while
she was the first NXT women's call up.
Right. And so she won the belt on her first night, and that's very important now to make the match at 32 feel more important and kind of kick off the official acknowledgement. Is we got rid of the butterfly belt and gave you a real one.
Right.
You know?
And so and that, very valid. With Charlotte, the reason I bring this up is because, with Charlotte, right, she sort of got us through this thing, because she walked in with belt A and walked out with belt B.
Right.
That night in Dallas. And so from there, we have a championship that looks like a championship.
Right.
We have a women's division that has done, think about where we've come from, and what was Dallas, 2016?
Yeah.
2016. And so, think where we've come in 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
We've been trying to give the men credit for 5 years and found some good stuff.
Yeah.
But in 3 years, the women have got a championship worth respecting. They were so good, they gave them a second one, because when you had two shows, we needed you to have a championship too. They've added tag team titles. This is obviously non-chronological order. We've added tag team titles. You have main evented Raw again. You have main evented.
Well, to the point where it's just an occurrence.
Right,
now.
And it doesn't feel forced. And they don't have Michael Cole talk about history, because it's just like, this
now
is the
women just do this.
Right, because why wouldn't they tonight? And it's the most interesting thing we're doing. Why wouldn't they go on last? That's the new normal. That's awesome. They have had a Hell in a Cell. They have had two Money in the Banks. They have had Extreme
TLCs.
Rules matches, last women's standing matches.
Hell in a Cells.
NXT has set the bar that the women, I think, strive to on both shows, to be honest with you. And so look what they've done in 3 years.
A female Royal Rumble.
And look, this isn't just, a crazy night of just putting over WWE, because they're not perfect, and we've obviously talked about all sorts of things. But I think
men was pretty negative.
But right. But I think it's important as a fan base. Look, we could have talked about Raw and SmackDown tonight, and the fact that people don't want Charlotte to make it a triple threat match, and she's getting booed and working their heat. But look, we got 7 more weeks to talk about that. Who knows if she actually gets in or not? I think she does, but we'll see.
Well, with the setup of the very stone cold storyline of you're too injured, we won't let you.
Yeah, I really think that she's. Yeah. But we'll get to that. Tonight was, what we need to do is just sort of sit there and go hey,
yeah,
this show is better than it used to be.
It is.
Because progress, it really to me is you notice where you are when you sit and reflect,
right.
I mean? Not on your way up. And they have made strides in the right direction. I think it's worth talking about. And when it comes to the women, the next frontier is actually possibly main eventing WrestleMania. That's pretty cool.
Well, it's the thing that people are the most excited about right now. And that's going to be interesting, because barring
they really have to, don't they?
Barring whatever Daniel Bryan is doing, because that's the only X factor.
Yeah,
And
I think Lesnar's got a better shot at going on last than SmackDown.
Right, but it's got to be very interesting, because we just don't know who Daniel Bryan's opponent is going to be.
Yeah,
there's speculation, but
John Cena's going to win title 17 at 9:30.
Yeah,
that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, maybe
that really
right
right around the middle of the show before the kids go to bed around 9:30. Cena's going to win his 17th world championship.
But even
you heard it here first.
But even then, I thought Raw was going to close with John Cena coming down to make the save.
Yeah.
Because Drew McIntyre injured him, and Drew McIntyre injured him, and, you know, now he wants to get revenge on Drew. So it's like, are you going to be playing? Are you going to be doing that at Hell in a, at Elimination Chamber, or are we doing that at, you know, what are we doing? You know what I mean?
No, I
or does he wrestle Daniel Bryan for his championship? Who knows?
So just to, I want to get back to the women, because we talked about the men, like, how did we get here with the men, right? How did we get here with, you know, being a company, like with the men? Would I, to wrap that up, what I would tell you is better scouting. Again, going from guys where your number one priority is MTV, E-Entertainment, reality shows, to like New Japan is a much better scouting system, much better funneling
Who's the tenpole of Ring of Honor right now? Let's get that guy.
Right, exactly.
That's literally what it was for a while.
Well, you know what? And this will, Danny Russ, this will, I hope, will pop you. This is what the Yankees used to do. Who are the best players in baseball? Get over here. Why aren't you over here? Why aren't you a Yankee? This is crazy that you're not a Yankee.
Yeah,
Adam Cole, what? Where are you in Ring of what? Get over here. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
How old are you? Get in here.
And, and quite frankly, I know that there are indie fans that don't love that mentality, but that's quite what baseball had to deal with the Yankees. The Yankees were like, who are the best players on the free agent market every year? Get over here. We have the most money and we win the most. And it's like, yeah. You know what I mean? But with, so that's how we got here with the men, and we got here with NXT setting a bar, creating stars.
Yeah.
So what we've never seen before, that we've seen, like, it's almost weird to think that 5 years ago we didn't live in this world at all, where WWE has never had more plug and play superstars that have been under their control the whole time. What this used to be in the late 90s was, holy crap, what's that guy from WCW doing here? I hope they don't screw him up. Now, to be fair, holy crap, what's that guy from NXT doing here? I hope they don't screw him up, is still a sentence. But at the same time, WWE has had complete control of the character from Jump Street, because what they used to do was go, well, what made you popular, Diamond Dallas Page? You were the people's champion? No, we already have that guy. You're going to be a rapist. You know what I mean? And it's like,
and you're going to fight The Undertaker, who everybody loves.
So Ciampa's not going to get to the main roster. And they're not going to go, what's your character? You're like a crazy psychopath who will do anything to win. What if you were a dentist? You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to do that to that guy. Probably. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's still a chance.
And so the biggest addition for like how we got here with the men is because NXT has changed the way talent is introduced to us.
Right.
And given an opportunity to shine. Back to the women. How we got here with the women? Caring at all.
Stopwatches.
Caring at all. Right. That and caring at all. You want to talk about how, look, in 2011, I think this roster was thin for the men. And for the women, it was embarrassing. We had WrestleMania matches with Snooki and Maria Menounos because we didn't have actual women. And if they were Kelly Kelly and models. And they sucked. And they were Dawn Marie. And they were rolling around on each other. And there was no content. There was no value.
Yeah, because all the women's wrestlers were Impact Knockouts.
Exactly. Because they didn't prioritize it. They didn't care about it. And they thought what you wanted was this weird sort of PG-13
sex.
Right. We're like, we're not going to show you anything, but it'll be like...
alluded.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly. We're going to like oddly tease you. It'd be like if Stacy Keibler never took the skirt off.
Right.
And that was just bad. And they thought that was better than good women's wrestling when it wasn't. We're like, look, quite frankly, I'm not gonna bullshit you here. There are some male fans out there, they exist, that would rather just be like, yeah, I miss when Tori Wilson would take all her clothes off. I'd like to have that back. Right? but I don't think there's anybody that, like, look, as I said, some people would take your clothes off Tori Wilson over Sasha Banks versus Charlotte, but I don't think anybody in their right mind would pick weirdly tease me without showing anything and then be in a bad
the
match.
The live sex celebration where Lita is under a full blanket,
right, wearing
and takes a bra out,
right, wearing something that would be like not too revealing at the beach,
and
then getting under a blanket that doesn't do anything for anybody, and then, like, you know what I mean, but like literally, like, the idea of like, hey, I'm Kelly Kelly and I'm gonna wear like revealing clothing, not show you anything, and then my match is gonna suck. It's like, who would pick that one? You know what I mean? Like, I think we would all pick great women's wrestling over that. And again, I understand the Tori Wilson guys out there. They're not going to pretend like that's not true.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
But who the hell is Kelly Kelly guy?
You know what
I mean? Like, who the hell are you?
Yeah.
And
that, a 14-year-old.
Yeah, I hope. That's, I guess.
That's it. That's all you got, and you're just figuring it out.
I guess. Like, so she was instrumental to your upbringing, wink, wink. But so how we got here with women is signing, like literally going like, oh, you're Ric Flair's daughter. You're probably pretty good. Sasha Banks, you're a 19-year-old prodigy at this at Chaotic Wrestling. Get on over here.
Right.
Giving women like Naomi an opportunity and not just being like, you're going to be
a cheerleader.
You're black, so no. You know what I mean? Like, right. Nope, Naomi's a multiple-time women's champion and will win that championship.
She's going to win everything.
Right. And now, don't get me wrong. Alexa Bliss comes from cheerleading and gymnastics, but guess what also she is? Good.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And she's transitioned
the only
well.
Person that's bad is Nia Jax.
And gymnastics and cheerleading is a way better transition than being
modeling
than Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
And being Snooki and hoping this sticks at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no pressure. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no pressure.
And so how have we got here? Quality women. Yeah. This to me is not just a combination of letting women shine, because clearly Vince McMahon, yes, even that guy, has to be the one that agrees that you're going to get a Hell in a Cell and go on last.
Yep.
But yeah, the idea that
I also don't think that Vince McMahon hates you as much as you think he does.
Agreed. But like, he didn't, again, I'm going to try to pick anybody else because I don't want to keep beating up on this girl. But like, he didn't unchain. Lay cool. You know what I mean?
Those are two people.
Yeah, right. Right. He didn't. One of them's Kelly Kelly, isn't it?
No. Michelle McCool.
Right, great. I'll get to make fun of somebody else.
The Undertaker's wife.
Right, there you go. Oh,
don't do that.
See, now I'm afraid of her. So we're gonna stick with Layla.
Dead man.
Right, right.
Walking.
Or like Eve Torres.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know what I mean?
That's a good one.
Where it's not like, yeah, they finally let Eve Torres be all they could be. It's like, no, they let Eve Torres quit, didn't ask her to resign, you know, didn't beg her to stay,
right.
And then signed Sasha Banks. Found Bailey.
Yeah.
Found Alexa Bliss. Well, signed Charlotte.
Well, the
Flair.
Performance Center is game changing.
It is.
You know,
Paige. Paige was game changing.
Yeah.
The only one they like unleashed, and she really didn't get a chance to do anything with this, was AJ Lee a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She never got to be part of this.
Yeah. I think it would have been interesting.
She would have made it better, I suppose.
Would have been interesting.
I also think AJ Lee benefited tremendously being like the only one that was even good at all.
I would agree with that.
Her closest peer was Caitlyn.
Right. That's the thing.
The bar was low.
Right. The bar was very low. Because I do think that she was better than the women she was put around, but she's not as good as these women. It's kind of like the what's it called? The Trish Stratus thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey guys, Trish Stratus wasn't good in 99.
Right.
Like when she was like this phenom, greatest women, no doubt about it.
Uh-huh.
She wasn't good then.
Right, exactly. It was just that like the other people in the division other than Lita and Chyna, who was a special talent.
But Chyna was wrestling dudes.
Right, exactly. Like the other women were like Stacy the Cat, whatever her name was, that married
Miller?
The cat. Stacy the Cat Miller, like Stacy the Cat.
It was just the cat.
The cat, right? There you go.
Right.
In that
She Devil Tori.
That like married Jerry Lawler for a long weekend or whatever. You know what I mean? And like right.
For a while, actually.
And so yeah, like you have overhyped it. The best women's wrestler of all time is Charlotte Flair right now.
Yeah, or Chyna.
Right, yeah, right.
Former Intercontinental Champion Chyna.
That is true. She did win that title. And she co-held it with Chris Jericho.
She beat Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, he loves talking about that.
He beat, you know, that man that beat up the Drifter?
Yeah, he loves talking about
it. On Raw this week?
Yeah, he loves it. Huge shout out to Joe, a new Patreon subscriber and Twitch subscriber. Joe, thank you. Nando is... Mando's cheering you on, and Joe,
hype train.
And Joe is now a Patreon and Twitch subscriber. Joe,
yeah. Legend. Legend status.
We love you. Thank you so much. That really does go a long way, and we appreciate it. So yeah, we're going to take a break real quick and come back. But yeah, just to kind of recap the whole thing. How have we got here? Effort and better talent. That really is it's like it's any sport in the world. You can laugh at me for comparing it to real sports, but talent and coaching. You know what I mean? They got better players. And the coaching staff seem to change their philosophy and improve. And when you get better players and better coaching, you're a better team. And WWE's no different than that. You know what I mean? How did the New England Patriots go from 20 years ago being a terrible franchise?
The Lions.
Terrible, right? Like, just, you know who they were? They were the Jacksonville Jaguars. Almost always bad, and then randomly in the AFC title game.
Yeah.
That's who they were, right? To now the class of the standard in the NFL. They got better players and better coaches. And that's what the NFL did. They got better players, and then Triple H got to do more stuff. And William Regal got to do more stuff. And they got trainers like Matt Bloom, who the fact that Albert is like this wrestling
savant,
exactly, is incredible, but real.
Yeah.
And they got, you know, bringing in guys like Brian Fury to train you stuff. Bringing in Shawn Michaels as your substitute teacher. Are you fucking real? You know what I mean? Like, that talk about like going into like science class and be like, oh, Mr. Miller's sick, but here's Neil deGrasse Tyson. It's like, I think I'm going to learn something today.
Yeah.
You know,
it'll
I mean?
At least be more fun.
Right, exactly. And so it's like, that's what it is. It is over simplistic as it is, and what it really, really is a combination of amazing individual achievements and matches and work ethic and all that stuff. But broad brush, better players, better coaches, Papa John's. We are gonna
take the thunder.
Better coaches, better pizza, Papa John's.
We are gonna take a quick break and come back and tell you why the new kids in town may not be a cure-all to all of your woes, but we have very different opinions on this. So I think we're gonna have a really interesting conversation about AEW and the new direction of the new promotion, the New Age Insiders. We'll be right back.
Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
This is my new favorite place.
Oh,
I love Dundee.
Yes.
Yeah, so the New Age Insiders are super proud to be brought to you this week. And really all this month by Dungarens.
Oh, look at that fun photo on Twitch.
Yay, Bill is excellent at his job. It is our new favorite bar. You've been going there for
all
a while.
The time.
You've been going there for all a while time. Now. We fell in love right away. Valentine's Day is right around the corner. They are taking reservations for the 14th. There is a drink special. It is called Sweet Victory. I'm sorry, Danny. Danny Frost, I am sorry. But the Sweet Victory sounds good. It's in honor of the Patriots. And, of course, SpongeBob at halftime.
Yeah, because he didn't make it.
Yeah. Well, he showed up briefly, but he didn't do the song or anything like that.
Would have been better. It would have been better than having a guy get up there and swear and bleep it out.
I don't think Maroon 5 was better than SpongeBob. I can't imagine. Yeah. I can't imagine.
Certainly Travis Scott wasn't.
I can't imagine SpongeBob being worse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And what we'd like to do is have you go to the SpongeBob SquarePants of restaurants, which is Dungarens, and really awesome food, awesome people.
The Tom Brady of restaurants.
The place is, the crazy thing is that they're going to be taking reservations for Valentine's Day. That's just right around the corner.
Exactly, honestly. And they're taking reservations, like I said, on the 14th.
It's a very small and intimate bar. It's going to be great.
They're awesome. They're at 344 Elliott Street in Newton, Massachusetts. There are 16 beers on tap, and I recommend highly the calamari. So go on down to Dungarens. Take your sweetheart, make your reservations today so you know that you get a booth for Valentine's Day. You will not regret it. 344 Elliott Street in Newton, Mass. Dungarens Bar. They are completely New Age Insiders approved.
The Royal Rumble has come and gone, and it's officially Mania season again, which means it's tailgate time. The Mania Club tailgate party takes over the parking lots of MetLife Stadium for the fourth annual event benefiting Connor's Cure on Sunday, April 7th. This year, for the cost of just $70, your ticket price will benefit Connor's Cure and aid in the fight against pediatric cancer, and includes all-you-can-eat food, all-you-can-drink beer, soda, juice and water, a music DJ, a live interactive WrestleMania pre-show featuring the New Age Insiders, special guests, and more. There will also be several raffles, and participation in our legendary cosplay contest for your chance to win some amazing prizes is highly encouraged. Underage? No worries. The Mania Club Tailgate Party is a family-friendly event, and all the previously mentioned, minus the alcoholic beverages, are included for just $40. Tickets are available right now via links available through the Mania Club Facebook page, at Mania Club WWE on Twitter, or by visiting newageinsiders.com/tailgate. The official parking lot number will be announced very soon, so stay tuned for the final location, which will be closer to the big event than ever before. Once again, join us April 7th from 11 to 4 on Mania Sunday for the ultimate tailgate party with the Mania Club, with proceeds benefiting Connor's Cure. We'll see you there.
I'm retired business executive and seasoned dad, Jamie Jamikowski.
And I'm a rookie dad and local independent wrestler, Scotty Slade, and we're the hosts of for the Pops.
We're the only podcast on the NAI Pop Network that has a mix of sports, wrestling, and pop culture all in under an hour.
This is a place where two Pops talk about the topics that interest us with a special guest in each episode.
And we have a splash of pop culture information to help us survive in our world of wives, kids, and coworkers.
And at the end of each episode, if that wasn't enough, Jamie tests both our guest and I on obscure pop culture facts in an exclusive segment called For the Pops Quiz.
So don't miss For the Pops with Scotty Slade and me, Jamie J. Mikowski, only on the NAI Pop Network.
Hey everybody, this is Rich Palladino, the voice of Chaotic Wrestling. I want to remind you to listen to the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network. You will hear stories from the 18-year history of Chaotic Wrestling, from the two guys that were there from day one, myself and former Chaotic Wrestling owner, Jamie J. Mikowski. That is the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network.
Seriously, I don't even get to talk during this promo?
Shut up, Jamie.
You know, it's pretty crazy, but NAI Pod has now been downloaded on 6 continents and has thousands of weekly listeners.
Yeah, step it up, Antarctica.
Does that make us intercontinental champions?
Kinda. But it also means NAI Pod is a great way to advertise your business, brand, or website.
If you would like to advertise with the New Age Insiders, shoot us an email, newageinsiders@gmail.com.
Tap into a constantly growing audience, advertise with the New Age Insiders, and take your business to main event heights. Send your emails to newageinsiders@gmail.com. That's newageinsiders@gmail.com.
Let's get back to more of the New Age Insiders. Here's Jason Molotov, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
So, a promotion that is going Double or Nothing in May has already...
ECW?
Yes.
Has already... Third Night Stand?
Has already divided the internet wrestling community. And I have thoughts.
Okay.
So, yeah. So we're going to be talking about the state of All Elite Wrestling right now.
Yeah, we talked about WWE and the state of WWE and how we got here. And Colin is right that we're Stacy Keebler, guys. Colin's right. Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about how we got here, because there isn't much to say about where we even are, but there is and there isn't.
Right.
And I want to talk about All Elite Wrestling and AEW, because I think there's a ton of talking points as to like where we are right now, February 2019, because it's already divided people into camps way earlier than I thought it would.
Yeah.
I knew that down the road people were going to pick sides, and there was going to be a groundswell of support right away, because they're not WWE, and WWE is the worst, and I hate WWE. I watch them for 5 to 7 hours a week, but I hate them.
Yeah.
Right? And that's just how everybody feels, and I need something else, and I miss Nitro, and it's never coming back, but maybe this will do it, and all that stuff.
Here's the thing. If you're still tooting that horn, you're an asshole.
Right. Well, we'll talk all about it, because I think some people do expect this to be, like, on par. Like,
right.
I think people were like, yeah, this is going to be like, heat is on kind of thing.
Right.
And I think they're in the minority, but all sorts of things. But yeah, like, here's the thing. I am, just to jump off about AEW, I am truly excited about that promotion. I would tell you if I wasn't. Right.
Yeah.
I like Cody. I like the opportunities it's giving guys like Flip, who I think is going to be a much bigger deal. So let me phrase it this way. Flip Gordon will be a much bigger deal in AEW than he would have been in the WWE. What remains to be seen is if a top guy in AEW is actually as big a star as, I mean this, literally anyone in WWE.
Right.
Because as much as this might sound like an asshole thing to say, more people have heard of Kurt Hawkins than Kenny Omega. Just number of human beings.
Yeah, right.
More people have heard of Kurt Hawkins than Kenny Omega.
Right.
I promise.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So the big thing with AEW is it is unfortunately on the internet, in the world that we live in right now, subjected to this thing that I absolutely, absolutely detest, which is the hyperbole culture,
okay.
Right? And what I mean by the hyperbole culture is, on the one hand, it's either the best thing in the world or it's the worst thing in the world. And there is, you damn you if you're in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, where I
I hate these fries. You hate French fries?
Yeah.
You hate them?
Right.
And I love them. You love French
you
fries.
You love French fries. Emotionally, you're attracted to French fries. But the big thing is that I fall somewhere in the middle. I am excited for what AEW is doing, right? I think that the way that they are building this company and getting ready for All In to Double or Nothing is great. They're doing a great job. The flip side to that is hey, put the boner back in your pants and don't start the podcast about AEW because that's stupid. You know what I mean? Like, I'm solely dedicated to AEW because there's just not content there. Right? And so don't be the, like, you got to be somewhere in the middle, and don't be the WWE guy either who's like, this is going to fail, this is stupid, and you're dumb for liking it.
Right.
Right?
Take that energy and aim it at the XFL. Right. That really will fail, that really is stupid. Right?
Exactly. And so you look at it, and it's like, okay, here it is. AEW was a company as of January 1st. Right? It has been a company for literally a month and change.
We've been a company longer.
We've actually been a company longer than All Elite Wrestling.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
we have sold less shirts.
We've sold way less shirts. But you win some, you lose some, you know? We've made more in Patreon money than they have.
I don't even know if that's right, but I'll say yes.
Well, they don't even have one, so.
Hell yeah.
Because they have the cons.
Yeah, they have
checkmate,
the cons.
Checkmate, Nick and Matt.
Yeah, checkmate. Checkmate. You want to trade?
Yeah,
I'll take the cons.
And by checkmate, I mean, like, would you like to be checkmates? Some sort of checkbook friends.
Yes,
where
please.
I get to play with yours just once.
Yeah, right. But I think that they're doing a great job because they're still using being the elite to showcase the talents that they're signing. By having a press conference, the press conference was really cool. Gets you kind of kicked off.
People talked about it. They watched it.
Yeah, people watched it. It's exciting. Being the elite, having them just like, I think some you can kind of pick which shows are the real ones. But, you know, hey, there's a chance if you're at an independent wrestling show, the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, I mean, not Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes and Hangman Page might show up.
They're what you want a DX to be.
Right, right. If Joey Ryan is on this show, there's a chance that they might be on, they might just show up.
In the 90s, you're like, DX is super unpredictable. It's like, look, at the one time they went to the building, they never did again.
Yeah, they never
and
did
not
it that, ever.
They're not unpredictable because they were never going to do anything that they weren't told to do.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
But that's kind of cool, right?
Yeah,
and that's
is.
Really exciting. And then you have the Young Bucks go and wrestle the Lucha Brothers, and then at the end of the match go, hey, you guys want to sign with AEW? And they sign with AEW. You know, and so it's like they're building excitement and are giving you reasons to be excited about this promotion. Now, the flip side, they haven't run a show yet.
I want to bring up a point because Nick made it. We're live for a reason. If you're listening on iTunes, Podomatic, Glork, Norble, Stitcher, Google Play, whatever you listen to your podcasts on, you're really going to want to join us live. twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. If you have Amazon Prime, you can subscribe for free using Twitch Prime, and you can subscribe any old time, by the way, because we love you, and people have asked this a ton. Yeah, you can just watch us on Twitch. Twitch is a free platform. The subscription benefits us, which is awesome support. We appreciate it. It gets you access to the post show because we do a live stream after. We'll send you that link, and you get to watch this commercial free. So if you're watching this, you're like, God,
aside from the ones we force you to watch.
Right, exactly. Not our commercials. They're commercial free. And like the support goes a long way. And like I said before, Jeff Bezos has a couple $1 billion and we don't yet. So you're doing the right thing. But Nick brought up a point, and I want to expand on it because he's right.
Yeah.
The dirt cheat part of it. So here's something, and I don't like to call them out because I love them, but I'm going to do it because I'm going to be honest with you. I was super duper disappointed in NoDQ.com because they did something that I don't think they intended to do, but opened the tap a little bit, and I think they really let the whole plumbing system go. When they said, would John Cena go to AEW? And to me, I go, no DQ is better than this.
Right.
This is not a talking point.
No.
This is dumb. Because guess what? Ask me.
Is John Cena going to go to AEW?
No, you're dumb. What are you, stupid? Of course not.
Right.
And don't
right.
tell me about Hogan in 1994. Because John Cena in 2019 and Hulk Hogan in 1994 are not the same. You would have come to me around 2008. John Cena, Hulk Hogan in 1994 in this company was John Cena in 2008. Still able to wrestle at a high level every day, still the guy, but people are sick of it.
Yeah,
that's
right.
The difference. Not 2019, which is really Hulk Hogan in about 2003.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Where it's like, I'm here sometimes. Rah, the pose. You know what I mean? Because that's what John Cena is devolving into. But the point being that when you ask that question, here's why, because it's harmless on the surface. Will John Cena go to AEW? No. But here's why it's a dumb talking
because
point.
It opens up the nonsense of, is The Undertaker going to go? Because
and it also gets, in the comment section, it goes like, yeah, he should. And that makes W, because here's the thing. Like you said, and you're so right, that's going to be the theme of this thing, is polar opposites, right? Because when you go to me and you go, John Cena is like, let's say you were crazy. And you came to me and you
go, you're crazy.
Last Thursday of every month on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. The first one is available on newageinsiders.com. We talked about aliens. But like, let's say that like you passionately believe that John Cena was at the end of his contract was going to go to AEW, right?
Sure.
And so what you make me do is, because I go like, no, I really don't think he'd do that. We're at the very end of the rope. He never went anywhere when he could have back in the day. I don't think he'd do it now.
Yeah, he won't do it now.
He's you know, and you would go, he should. He's wasted in WWE. It's stupid. And now I got to go, he's not wasted. He's a 16-time champion.
Right.
He's entering a new phase of his life. He's 40 years old.
He's going into movies.
And you go, WWE wouldn't know what to do with him anymore. He'd be a bigger star in AEW than the WWE.
Right.
And now I got to go, now I've got to defend WWE way more than I intended to.
Right.
I got to shit on AEW way more than I intended to, because I got to take your Looney Tune ass and bring you down to earth and go, John Cena will never be a bigger star than he was in the WWE. You're dumb. And I didn't want to call you dumb. And I didn't want to tell you that WWE's the best. And I didn't want to tell you that AEW is smaller. But now I have to say those things because you asked me if he would go to a company that has not run a show yet.
Yes.
You're dumb. We're dumb. It's dumb to talk about.
So here's the big... Here's my big talking points on the internet fandom that just needs to kind of cool their jets a little bit, right? Because everybody wants to be a part of the thing, right? There are so many people that weren't able to be in the building at All In. And there weren't people that were able to, you know, be at the Hammerstein Ballroom for ECW. And there are people that weren't at the Elks Lodge to watch PWG, right? And there weren't people that got to live the Monday Night Wars from a Nitro. And they want to. And they want to be a part of the thing.
Do you think it's people that didn't live it or people that desperately want to relive it?
I think it's a combination of both because they're not mutually exclusive, right?
I agree.
Because on the one hand, you have the older fan base because the age gap is so similar or so different is that you have the older fan base that's like, yeah, I was there and I had to choose and it was a war and blah.
Buddy taped Nitro for me.
Right. Like you have those people. Which we're unfortunately closer to. And then you have the younger people that never got to experience it but heard it, and they've been a part of the internet wrestling revolution where, you know, yeah, you're not swapping VHS tapes that you bought at a convention somewhere with somebody to see a Ring of Honor show that was in the middle of Hoboken, New Jersey in a rundown warehouse.
Right. It is much easier to see Jay Lethal than it was to see Tyler Black.
Right, exactly. And so you have those people who want to have some kind of identity because it's become cool to hate WWE.
Agreed.
Because when it became cool to hate John Cena, it became cool to hate WWE. Now, WWE's biggest problem right now is their connection to their fan base, which is the craziest microcosm in the entire world.
It's never been easier.
Because it's never been easier to connect to your fans and you refuse to do it. But at the same time, the NXT roster is firing on all cylinders with its fan base. It feels like it gets them, it acknowledges them, it works with them, and gives them what they want.
Look at Izzy and Nick.
Right.
You know, like Izzy was a Bayley super fan.
Right.
They took care of her every step of the way, made her part of a takeover.
Right.
You know what I mean? Look at Nick. Nick is like, I am here at every single goddamn thing you do.
Right.
And they're like, great. We're going to take care of that kid. We're going to make sure he gets pictures. Johnny Gargano's nice to him.
Right.
Like, they don't make it seem like, again, I really do think that WWE thinks their fans are a bunch of dorks.
Right.
And they act like it.
Right. And NXT doesn't act that way.
Agreed.
Right. And so you have
all the same dorks.
And so you have this fan base, or you have the fan base that it's cool to hate WWE. So I'm going to go online and I'm going to be like, yeah, guys, it's cool to hate WWE, right? WWE's stupid, right? AEW's awesome. And then it goes to your point where it's like, yeah, so I want to desperately make AEW a thing. And it's got to be the biggest to ever big and the greatest to ever great.
Right.
And you're turning into the Michael Cole that you hate that tells you how big this moment is.
Right, because let's flip the script. Because because I'm over here, and like if I'm the WWE guy and I go like, look, WWE is the biggest thing. They're going to make everybody a megastar, because it'd swing. But now if I was the AEW guy, right, and I was the one that was like, John Cena should go to AEW, now I got to swing so far the other way and go, they don't, you know, this is going to be a revolution. John Cena's going to get used to his fullest. He might be a bad guy finally. I get to see bad guy John Cena for the first time in 15 years. And it's like, now you're saying things you don't believe.
Right. Well, and the biggest part, the biggest point that I could make is you don't want to, like, if you actually like the message that Cody and the Bucks are bringing, you don't want John Cena to come. That's the thing, is that if you're saying John Cena should go to AEW, you don't get it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, maybe
their formula right now, you're right, because what they're doing right now, the formula is, and you've mentioned this before and you were right then and it's correct now, it's the first, as terrible as it's going to sound, it's the first TNA formula.
Right.
Because here's who it is, right? Because let's call Chris Jericho Sting.
Yep.
Right? A reason to watch. Yes. I've heard of that guy. I like that guy. I want to see him. Right? But let's call Kenny Omega AJ Styles. This guy's really good. You've heard of him, maybe even seen him a couple times, but it's hard for you to see him, and it's going to be much easier for you to see Kenny Omega here than it is at 3 in the morning in Japan or some show because you don't want to buy New Japan World. And so this is going to be, and I would equate it that way. But what we want you to see is guy like MJF, who you probably never heard of. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Hangman Page is going to be a huge deal for
them. Exactly. He's going to be their Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
If we, you know, and not everything's like bing, bing, bing. But what I'm saying is...
But that's the thing is, I need to have a handful of legends. Billy Gunn. Billy Gunn is a part of this because you've heard of that name before.
Yep.
And you might have liked the New Age Outlaws. And you might have seen Road Dogg on Raw.
Yeah.
And so now you're like, oh, I wonder where Billy Gunn is. And you look up Billy Gunn. Oh, he's doing this thing.
We've done it. We booked it. It was two summers ago now. But we the three of us were part of a show. We booked Billy Gunn.
Right.
And ticket sales went up.
Yep. People care about it. And so while
people
like
DX.
While I came to have you watch Billy Gunn, I'm going to introduce you to Marty Scurll.
Yep. And Jimmy Havoc.
And Jimmy Havoc.
And MJF.
You know, and so the formula for this, for AEW, is not and shouldn't be, I need to slay the giant now. Right?
And
whether they do or don't is ultimately irrelevant. It's irrelevant because I don't need you to slay the giant now. You're starting at level one. WWE is at level 99.
Yeah.
Right? So don't try and fight that boss right now.
Right.
So
ever.
Go play the game.
Yeah.
Go play the game. Get the experience. Build your character then go.
They're gonna put on their 35th wrestling Super Bowl before you put on your first event.
Yeah, right.
You'll never, I mean, that is just like, that is without exaggeration. You want to talk about a hill to die on. You are talking about climbing Mount Everest with the clothes you have on, and you're not bringing anything. It's like me and the skin on my, you know, the clothes on my back. We're going to go to the top of my mountain. No, you're going to freeze to death and die. There is no way ever.
Right.
And to their credit, though, I don't think that's their goal.
Right, and that's the thing. Because I don't think that Cody and the Bucks' goal when they say change the universe is put Vince McMahon out of business.
Yeah, good.
Now, here's the thing.
It'd be a dumb goal.
But here's the thing. Let's talk about it in 10 years. If you're a company in 10 years, we can reevaluate the goals. But right now, it's, hey, let's assemble the best roster we can and fill the hole in the market. Right. If I was to create, like, here's craft beer. Right. Craft beer is a perfect example in the same type of deal where if I'm a craft brewer, right, my goal isn't to overtake Budweiser.
Right.
Right?
You never will.
My goal is to create a beer that people are going to enjoy.
Sam Adams.
And hopefully I can grow to a Sam Adams level. Right? Where I'm going to be in every bar. I'm going to be right alongside those guys. And you're going to think of me when you think of beers.
It might even be your favorite beer.
I might even be your favorite beer. But, yeah, am I going to have all of the halftime ads at the Super Bowl? Probably not.
Am I going to be the only beer in an NFL stadium? Never.
No,
never.
Never.
I'm not the only beer at Gillette.
Right, right, exactly. And so, yeah.
But there's going to be plenty of places where the only beer you can get is Bud. You're right. That is a great example. It's like Sam Adams is chugging along and they're going to do great.
Yep.
But they will never, ever, 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 ever just like, oh, Budweiser closed because Sam Adams got so popular.
Right.
No, no. I'm going to make a definitive statement. No. AEW will never, not ever, not in 100 years, be popular enough to make WWE close their doors. One company had a shot at it one time. They almost did. They didn't. You shot the bear in the neck. You thought it was going to bleed out. It didn't. The bear didn't die. And now it's alive, and the bear never will.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
But and here's the thing. 10 years is a long time, and who knows?
I guess.
But I'm telling you that, like,
we gear up for WrestleMania 45.
Yeah. But I'm telling you right now, that to tell me standing right now that AEW is going to overtake WWE is stupid and irrelevant.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's, hi, I want you to collect all of the wrestlers that I like from all of these other promotions that don't interact with each other and put them on one roster.
Yeah.
And I want you to tell me compelling wrestling stories so I can get invested in wrestling again. And basically, I don't want you to clone WWE.
Right.
What I want you to do is I want you to give me the type of wrestling that I, as a fan, am not getting from WWE.
And I'm and again, allow me to say, I am super excited for this. I think they're going to do a good job. I also think that just like, you know, I don't mean to be a dick here. I really don't mean to be a dick here. But they're going to be top heavy, and their roster, I would imagine, because you can sort of see the direction they're going. Their next and biggest signing will be Kenny Omega.
Yep.
Right? And then you can sort of see the direction they're going. Jimmy Havoc is a nice roster piece. That's a nice depth position. MJF, you're going to love him, but he's not a star yet. Right? So all I'm telling you is there's going to be a roster with Cody, the Bucks, and Kenny Omega. Chris Jericho for the name value.
Right.
Hangman Page doesn't have the name value yet. He might get there. Neville has some name value, but they're going to be top heavy.
But I guess it all depends on which vantage point you're looking at this from. If you're looking at this from a person who's never watched wrestling before, then yeah, all of these guys except for Chris Jericho is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Right? But that's not fair to the promotion because AEW isn't targeting those people.
No, I don't mean that. All I'm telling you is what I'm saying is to fans that have these expectations that, like I said, this is gonna get turned into a real race real soon. What I would tell you is it's a bunch of guys that have never, I don't know. I don't want to put anybody down because I don't mean that like these guys aren't stars. They're absolutely stars,
but again,
especially Chris Jericho and stuff. But it's like, yeah, is Adrian Neville like, is that going to change the world?
The question again, the question is what's your vantage point? Because you're a WWE guy, right? Like you're true and true a WWE guy and you don't really watch independent wrestling, right? You watch the big events when there's hype around it, but you're not going to go and dig around the internet to find, you know, the nitty gritty stuff, right? Whereas someone like me, I do know who all of these guys are and I'm far more excited about this because I am excited about Pentagon and Phoenix. I'm excited about Hangman Page. And so it really depends on your vantage point because I feel like a lot of the AEW hate comes from the WWE side where it's less about the talent and who they are and where they are. As you know, because like Hangman Page is like 24, like Pentagon and Phoenix are both like 28, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So they're all like young people with high ceilings. MJF is like 22, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And so you're talking about guys with high ceilings that can grow into it. Whereas, like, yeah, if I'm sitting there against WWE, it's like, yeah. You know, Maria Kanellis is more popular than Hangman Page. And it's like, well, yeah, you're right.
Right.
But
I would, totally. And I'm not, and again, I'm really, really not dismissing them. And I think it's going to be a huge amount of fun. I am in no way trying to bum people out on AEW. I'm going to watch it. I'm really looking forward to it. I hope it's fucking awesome.
Right.
But all I'm saying is, like, the idea that, like, all of these guys, they might be working under the same roster for the first time, but, like, what I would tell you is, like, not that long ago, Ring of Honor had Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, right? Like, I can't even remember, like, going back. But,
yeah,
like,
okay.
They had... Yeah. Joe came back for them, you know what I mean? And so it's like they had an amazing roster, right? I would say comparable to the one that AEW has assembled. And they just didn't light the world on fire like everybody sort of thought.
Right. And so now that goes into where AEW can make the change, because I'm glad you brought that up. The problem with Ring of Honor is the accessibility of WWE. Now, again, they've earned it, right? Like, WWE has earned being on USA. They earned being on Spike originally, right? And so having Ring of Honor be owned by the Sinclair Broadcast Network is very similar to that of WCW at the end. You have a broadcast company that owns you. You don't, like, all the decisions are financially based, not actual wrestling based.
Sure.
Right? So that's how you get Ring of Honor's rise and everybody cares and everybody likes it and we're producing good talent to now people want to jump ship because, yeah, creatively, like, it's still mind-boggling to me. Not just because he's a friend of the show, but how do you not put the Ring of Honor title, at least the TV title, on Dijak when he's in the House of Truth, he's Jay Lethal's muscle, then Jay Lethal turns on him. How does he not win one of the two championships that he has?
Yeah, right.
Right? And so it's like, it's that type of poor decision-making that ultimately ends up ruining them.
What do you think? So forecasting.
Yeah.
What do you think and what do you want AEW to be?
So I want AEW to be basically what we all wanted Ring of Honor to be when it got the TV deal, right? Which is basically harps back a little bit to older Ring of Honor, the Kevin Steen Ring of Honor, right? Where it's like, we're going to have interesting stories and great matches and people are going to be invested in it. It's not going to be hardcore like ECW was, but it's got to be this, like, raw and unpolished, not in a messy, like, way, but in a less polished than WWE way, so that it's more relatable and grounded, because those are the things that work with NXT. NXT feels more relatable, right? And I don't need you to be in these huge stadiums because the noise dissipates during Raw.
So here's what I want, right? Here's what I want AEW. Here's my perfect AEW, okay? Because I'm going to come to you with a vantage point. You're right. It's not even necessarily that I prefer WWE. I'm sure I do. I must prefer it if I absorb it so much. It really is ease of access to the content.
Right. Well, that's it.
If these shows were also on network, don't have to plug something in TV every week, I'd watch them more. I really would.
Right.
And just, quite frankly, more people talk about this stuff, so, you know, that's where I plug in, but I get you. So here's my perfect AEW, because what I'm saying is I'm a spoiled fan. Yep. I'm spoiled. We all are now. This is going to sound terrible. Oh, steak again for dinner. I've seen and get plenty of great wrestling all the time.
Right.
Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre can fight on any given Raw. Right.
Yep.
We are crazy spoiled by the fact that, like, on any given SmackDown, AJ Styles might take on Daniel Bryan. That could happen next week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. The world class matchups I'm spoiled by, and that can't just be it. Now, to your point, I haven't seen Phoenix take on
Cody Rhodes.
That'll be fun, right? And so there's still more, and I want great wrestling, duh. But here's what I want AEW to actually be, the all-in formula. What I want AEW to be is actually really funny online and televised content that wrestling continues and punctuates.
Right. That's the thing is, and I
want it to be a really, really funny web series, and then
that
I
has wrestling.
And then I tune into their TV show, and those who have the matches for the payoffs.
Right, exactly.
That's what I want.
Right.
That's what All In was.
That's exactly what All In was.
That's
what
I want.
And right now AEW hasn't lent itself to believe that it's all of a sudden gonna be Monday Night Raw or Nitro or Impact, you know, or whatever Ring of Honor TV is. You know, and that's what I want you to be, because your strength is in your creative storytelling.
Yep. WWE doesn't give me that. They give me tons of world-class stories below.
I don't get character.
Yeah.
And I don't get character, and I don't get stories, right? Joey Ryan and Hangman Page leading up to All In is the funniest goddamn thing in the world. Because
that's what I want.
Because they're arguing who's a better dick wrestler.
Yep.
And it's like, yeah, that's dumb and stupid, but I care about watching Adam Page lose his mind, talk to shoes, to then have a great match with Joey Janela that was very good, but ultimately inconsequential because I cared about the dick druids that came out with the resurrection of Joey Ryan.
And that is exactly what I want. I want it to be with WWE, again, the spoiled factor. I don't even think the average fan realizes how good we have it.
Right.
That on any given time, it's going to be like, oh, tonight it's Samoa Joe versus Shinsuke Nakamura on SmackDown at 8:45, because why not? And it's like, holy crap. You know what I mean? How far we've come from like, tonight Santino Marella is going to pull out a fucking sock puppet. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, seriously. You know what I mean? How far we've come from that. But at the same time, what WWE doesn't give me is anything to sink my teeth into.
Right, nothing.
We latch on so desperately when it's like, holy crap, Samoa Joe went to AJ Styles' house. And then, of course, nothing happened, right? But that story that, like, who knows if it was even going to be good, but the three of us were like, oh, my God, a story!
Right.
Know what I mean? Like,
right.
And so AEW, if you want to talk about how, like, you know, for satisfying my needs, you know what I mean? It's like, that you, what I don't get over there.
Because, I need to get over here.
Because what I think, frankly, and I could be certainly proven wrong, and in 5 years they're going to look super different, but they, pound for pound, roster member for roster member, just can't compete.
No.
Right? So,
no.
But they don't have to.
Right.
If they're funny, if they're engaging, if they're interesting,
if I care. Right. Do you know why TNA failed? TNA failed because Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff came over there and said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get a square ring and we're going to move to Mondays.
Yep.
And it's like, that's not why I was here.
Great. That's, you blew it.
You blew it.
Yep.
I watched you too.
Yeah.
I didn't need to choose.
Yep.
I wanted to watch you both, and now you're forcing me to, and I'm not gonna.
Yeah, exactly. And that is what they need to be. They need to just be this funny online content with a weekly show.
Yep.
But the wrestling, it's like almost like NXT. Couple matches, don't get me wrong, we're gonna wrestle. But
show me all of the internet stuff that you did.
Right.
And then just have a couple matches.
And, like, you know, that's why we have MJF in Pentagon, because, you know, those guys are going to wrestle this week. But, you know, you kind of probably tuned in because what are Nick and Matt up to, those wacky guys?
Right.
And that's what I want, because that's what I don't get. And, like I said, I know I'm spoiled rotten to say this, but it's just like, yeah, on any given week, I could see Finn Balor versus, I don't know.
Bobby Lashley.
That's yikes. But you know what I mean? But like on any given WWE pay-per-view, I could see Brock Lesnar. He's there sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. On any given pay-per-view, I can see these like world-class guys. And like I could see Antonio Cesaro versus, you know, Finn Balor. That could happen. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like Kevin Steen versus Finn Balor. Could just happen on a Raw. You know what I mean? That's incredible.
Right.
And so what's over here? What's my itch? And that's the biggest difference. And I think that, you know, over time, you said it with TNA, same thing with WCW. It's funny, and again, this sounds like a DC thing too, but I don't even know. I've never really tried to put my finger on it. It's like, what was WCW giving fans that WWF wasn't in that period where WCW was winning? I know it's been talked about like vaguely, but like, what was
so
it?
It was the content.
This guy's Duke the Dumpster and works at a garbage department.
Right. The characters at the WWF at the time were hokey.
Right. Yeah.
They were hokey and they had the same formula that they had because it's a couple of things. They had the same.
Really, the NWO.
Well, that's part of it, right? You had the hokey characters that were perpetuated from the 80s, but the 80s characters that you liked had all moved on, right?
Yeah.
Warrior was gone. Hogan was gone. Savage was gone.
Yeah.
Million Dollar Man was gone. All of these guys were gone. And yeah, you had Duke the Dumpster. And, you know, it's really unfortunate, right? Because you had Brett, who was good at what he did, but was a wet mop in terms of the personality department. So I didn't get any of the fun, right? Now, flip over to the competition. I got these cool, dark, and edgy characters that are pushing the line. I recognize a lot of people because Hogan's here, and I recognize Hulk Hogan.
Wrestling's
and
all about stars,
And he's a bad guy, and Macho Man Randy Savage is here, and I know and I like him. Luger's here, and I know who that guy is. Yeah. And he, you know, and then like,
and Razor and Diesel and Goldberg.
And then, Rey Mysterio's very fun, and Eddie Guerrero's fun, and then this Chris Jericho guy is pretty hilarious.
And Goldberg was pretty
That's why you were able to win. You were able to win because, well, I don't reckon it's the same reason you tuned out of wrestling, right? It was, I don't recognize any of these people, and none of them are gravitating, I'm not gravitating towards any of them, but I do recognize these people over here, and so I'm going to check out what they're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
there's absolutely that factor where it's like, literally, it's like, if you told somebody that this card over here has the greatest collection of independent wrestlers in the world and it's the better show,
right,
but over here you're going to get to meet the Big Show, more people are going to go to that show.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, I know who the Big Show is.
I know who the Big Show is.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? It's just like, you don't even like the Big Show that much. No. You just know who he is.
Right, exactly.
And that's just such a big, huge part.
It's boxing. It's boxing and UFC. It's all of these like fight sports.
And something that you know even better than me. It's the Hollywood star system.
Right.
Oh, I like Steve Carell. I'll see that.
I'm going to see this movie. I have no idea what Welcome to Morrowind is about. Right.
But I'm guilty of it like with Tom Hanks. I just like Tom Hanks.
I'm going to see it.
If he's in it, I'll probably see it. I just like him.
Why do you think Meryl Streep keeps winning Oscars?
Because people just like her.
People are just like, oh, she's good, right?
That's what it is. Like Robin Williams. I would say anything that guy was in. Jim Carrey, if it's a comedy.
Right.
Up until 2000-something, you know, recently.
Oh, you didn't like the number 21? Or 23?
Yeah, number 23. Oh,
but he wrote the book, Bill.
And he jumped out the window. Jumped out the window and found the book, and the book's evil or something.
He wrote the book.
To be fair, Truman Show is good.
Truman Show's the best. One of my favorite movies. The party keeps going. Patreon.com/New Age Insiders. If you didn't know, we have 5 shows a month. You can only hear if you're a Patreon. And also, if you sign up right now, if you go to twitch.tv/New Age Insiders TV, use your Twitch Prime or just subscribe. We will send you the link. Bill will send the link over, and you can join the exclusive Patreon live stream that's happening in minutes. We're going to sign off in just a minute or two. From here, we'll give our closing thoughts in a second. But then if you're listening live like you should be, live Wednesday night at 8 o'clock on newageinsiders.com, twitch.tv/newageinsiders TV, you can keep the party going with the Patreon-only stream. Again, 5 a month. And ride around your car with 5 extra episodes of the New Age Insiders every single month to keep that going. Your support means the world to us. And we are really excited for everything we got going on. Again, newageinsiders.com has tickets to the tailgate, to the Chaotic Wrestling Show. Tickets to both the Chaotic Wrestling, Chaos for a Cause, and the tailgate are available now. We really need your support to reach our goal for Connor's Cure. Come on down to our first live wrestling show. Help us make that a big success. We cannot wait to see you guys down there. We are very confident it's going to be an amazingly awesome time. NAI Mania 5, the biggest we've ever had. NewAgeInsiders.com. You can get tickets to both Saturday's wrestling show and Sunday's tailgate party that really has become the extravaganza of the weekend. We cannot wait to see you guys there. Is there anything you guys would like to get out there before we sign off for the evening and jump over to patreon.com/newageinsiders?
Check out everything going on newageinsiders.com, the articles of the Striker Cinema series, following the deep dive of the Marvel Cinematic Universe leading up to the release of Captain Marvel in the first week of March.
And last night's episode of Late Night Liam, we discussed what a lot of people probably don't like us discussing, the world champion New England Patriots.
Yeah.
We talked about all the commercials from this past week. This past weekend's game, and touched on the hostless Oscars that are coming up here very soon at the end of the month. So
also head on over to YouTube, because 2 weeks ago we had Chip in studio and basically had...
He's dumb.
He was dumb, and we told him the title of famous movies, and then he had to tell us the plot.
Yeah. You know what makes my day is, did you hear about what happened to Chip at Disney World today?
Someone puked on him.
Someone puked on Chip.
In the most magical place on Earth.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen there.
No.
Except if Chip is there.
I didn't even know you could vomit in Disney.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't even think that was like a thing that could...
Like a possible.
Like not even like a permission thing, like a physical possibility.
Yeah, right.
Go on to patreon.com/newageinsiders now to keep on going. twitch.tv/newageinsiders TV. Subscribe today. Use your Twitch Prime. My name is with Jason Malta.
I am Liam Stryker.
And I'm Bill Neville. And real quick, Nando in the chat and on Twitch says, will there be a donate section for the event? I can't go, but willing to donate. Definitely go to newageinsiders.com/tailgate. And there's a link there you can donate.
Absolutely. Donate to the cause. It's a great, fantastic cause. We don't see a dime when we go do these tailgates on Sunday. And we're going to have this rally and raise this money, try to get some great stuff going for Connor's Cure, an amazing charity with great, great people. Again, shout out to Gary and Ashante for the Mania Club and helping us be part of this incredible weekend. NewAgeInsiders.com has everything you need. All together, as we head over to Patreon, you have made us the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard. Get your tickets, support Connor's Cure. We cannot wait to see you there.
We out.